Good morning, family. How are you today? Blessed, very good. That's all I could sort out. Very good, blessed. And if any of you are not feeling good today, I pray that God will fill you up. I pray that He will restore you. If you have struggles that you're going through right now that you don't see an end in sight, I pray that God gives you hope and the assurance that He is with you all the way through to victory. And whatever you are experiencing, I pray that you experience His presence and goodness with you. Let us pray together. Dear Father, we thank You that You are here with us. We ask that You would touch each heart right where we are. Shed the burdens. Make Your presence manifest in each heart, Your loving presence, so that now we can just freely come to You and Your Word, Your Spirit can speak to our hearts. And the transformations and the victories that You want to bring can be ours. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are continuing on our series, What the World Needs Now. And of course, as we mentioned last week, the obvious ending to that line from the song that you may have heard, Love, Sweet Love, is exactly what the world needs now. And God has given a message of love for our time so that we can all be saved if we take Him up on His invitation. I would just remind you of what the ground that we covered last Sabbath. We talked about this three angels' messages that's been talked about in Adventist circles and somewhat in other Christian circles for more than 100 years. And the fact that when we read this message given in the Scriptures, that it is the last message before Jesus comes. So it never gets out of date. It only becomes more urgent. Now, as we focus this week on what the world needs now, I want you to think about the headlines that have come to your attention just this week. I did a quick check of headlines from this morning so that they would be fresh. And I want you to see the kind of news that we have available to us. Shooting rampage in college town leaves 7 dead. That's from today, CNN. What does the New York Times have to tell us about? Well, it has about the new HUD secretary, but look at that. Nigeria's army hampers hunt for abducted schoolgirls. You've been hearing about those schoolgirls that have been abducted and lost and not able to be found. We go to NBC News. The Pope hopes to help bring peace to the Middle East. How much bad news have we gotten from the Middle East of the struggles that are there? People trying to, and again, more about the mass murder in Isla Vista, California, just recently. ABC News, 7 killed. Again, this is the top of the news today. The newest event of bad news that has come our way. Shot from a BMW driving by in Isla Vista next to UC Santa Barbara. You've been hearing about the elections in East Ukraine. Guess what, folks? These elections are under threat. Are you surprised? Are you used to getting bad news? Bosco came up to me in the hall to talk to me about what's happening in his homeland, in Serbia and Bosnia and the former Yugoslavia. The floods, the towns underwater, 8 to 10 feet additional danger as landmines that have been left there by the bad news of the past are floating up and becoming a fresh danger for people. Look at this. There is before, there is after. You see that? So I hope, as Pastor Scott shared with you, that if you have something extra that you can share to help with that, that you will do so. So what does the world need now? This week, as we go through the three angels' messages of Revelation chapter 14, we're going to find the obvious answer. What the world needs now is good news, of course. Do you know anyone in the world around you? Do you need good news? Do you need a break from the bad news that keeps pounding you, coming at you on the television screen, coming at you from your computer screen via the news, however you get it, from the newspaper? Bad news that comes by phone or text message about things that are happening in your family? Bad news, bad news, bad news. I feel like I'm conducting a symphony of bad news, because that's sometimes what it seems like in the world around us. Bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. What the world needs now is good news. So we can think in all kinds of big and philosophical ways about good news, but I thought it would be good for us right here and now to share a little bit of good news from our lives. Does that sound like something you might want to hear? Because it's very good to hear about cosmic good news, and we are going to get into that, but it's good to hear good news from here and now, right? From people around us. So I want you to think, what is the best news that you have received this week? Okay? Think about that. This is from Proverbs. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Does anyone have bone problems here today? We are going to address the bone problems here today, because we are going to have good news floating around this place, bringing good health to the bones. Okay, who has some good news from this week?
A lot of you know James and Randy. James has decided to go into a drug program. Please pray for him. Randy went up to Oregon to pick him up and to bring him to a program. That's the best news we could hear.
That's right. Does anybody here know how to say hallelujah? All right. I like the amens, but I like the hallelujahs better.
I'm waiting to have approval, but we found an apartment and just waiting for them to do a background check, and the church is going to help us, and it just makes me want to cry knowing that I have my church family supporting us, and I just feel wanted and welcome and very blessed.
Right on. Is that good news? Good news. All right. Your family is rich with good news. What's your good news?
That my mommy made it to Oregon safely, and I want her to make it back good.
Right on. That is good news indeed. That's good news. Huh? It's good news that you got to hold the microphone. Right on. Can I have it back? Thank you. That's good news. I got it. Yes, sir. Good news, the best news this week.
Some of you may know my brother Mark. He went on the Peru mission trip with us, and he visits from time to time. He and his wife Tiffany had their first child on Thursday, Bridger Falsa Ward, after 19 years of marriage, starting a family.
Praise the Lord. All right, best news from this week, Judy. What is it?
Sunday, when I was doing some routine car work, I was able to let a lady that was dressed nicely that came in behind me, ahead of me, and I said, "Are you going to church?" And she said, "Yes," and she was thankful that I could let her go first. And I was able to give her a glow tract and some Bible promises for our families as she was exiting, as I was starting my business. And then at the end, when I was talking to the man who was helping me, he was a young man, and I said, I was explaining how helpful this place had been to me Friday evening, getting me out 15 minutes before sundown, and that I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, and I hadn't pressed on them. I'd just been praying a lot, and It did happen okay because of the unexpected need that had come up emergent there.
Right.
And then I gave him a return to rest glow tract as I was explaining about Sabbath, that might be helpful for him to better understand. Guess what he said? "I am a Seventh-day Adventist, and so is my mom." I said, "Where do you go to church? Are you going now?" And he said, "No, not for a while." And that was a divine appointment I praise God for,
Amen.
And I pray that he will be back with us. I prayed, in fact, that very moment when I left, I prayed in the car with my prayer partner. Then I saw him again, and I said, "I want you to be encouraged that when I was in college, I asked for Friday evening to Saturday evening off from my nurse aide work, and they gave it to me when I asked for it, which was amazing. And I said, I want you to be strong like your name, Daniel, and to do that."
All right, I have one question for you.
Yes.
Was it worth having car trouble?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Definitely.
Good news.
You paid
Praise
an offering to do it.
Thank you. All right. Yes.
I have one. My niece had a double mastectomy yesterday, and the good news is that the cancer had not spread any further.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes.
I'd been asking God to send workers, and he did.
Yes.
I got a lot of calls, and people are volunteering
workers for
what? VBS.
VBS.
Vacation Bible School.
Vacation Bible School. People who are willing to get weird with the animals. Yes.
You know, I've been passing out some steps to Christ to patients after surgery, and the week before last.
Do you wait for them to wake up?
You know, once they're, you know, once they're, when they come, I saw a lady that came back, and she was smiling and really happy, and of course, that makes me feel good. But she also told me, you know what? I want to thank you for that book that you gave me.
Praise the Lord.
She said I read it completely, then I gave it to my son, who read it also, and then I gave it to my daughter, and we're really grateful for that. And that. And it's encouraging me to keep doing this.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Look what happened step by step afterwards. Yes.
I got blessed last night by Elder Williams, and his family came to my home and visited with me. And it surpasses anything that's happened.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. That is good news. The body of Christ being the body of Christ. Yes.
On Monday, our oldest son, Ben, successfully defended his dissertation, and he will be Dr. Ben on June 15.
All right, Dr. Ben.
As many of you may know, that Reva and Wilner Kacha were in an accident Monday morning. But I saw Wilner Tuesday, and he's quite sore, but he's recovering, and Reva's out of the hospital. So, praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have you enjoyed getting good news? You do? You think you can top all these? Give it your best shot.
Well, I got my report card. All A's and B's.
Later. I think he did it. I think he did it. That's good. Good news indeed. Well, guess what? Guess what? I'm going to top you all. Hello there, young man. I understand your name is Albert. And this is... Oh, see, I'm wireless. So there's nothing I can hand over to you. Here, do you want to? Here, come for a little walk. Shall we go for a walk today? Yeah. To see what God has given. There we go. All right, you're quite welcome. It's just something we do here at English Oaks, returning children to their families. Look at this. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6. We are going to start digesting this, and I want you to see how this message that so often comes in the context of being frightened, of being worried about the end times, about being worried about our own personal salvation and where we stand with God and are we ready, and all of these kinds of things that frighten us and come to us as anything but good news. By the way, I remember when I was a kid sitting in church listening to an end times sermon. I think I was 7 or 8 years old, and my legs were literally shaking. They may have been saying good news, so I don't even remember exactly what they're saying, but I was not receiving good news. I was receiving bad news. I was receiving scary news. But look at what the Word of God says at the beginning of these messages that are given to be shared with the world before Jesus comes and up until Revelation 14:6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. By the way, you might wonder, we call these the three angels messages. If you have any history in hearing Adventist teaching, you'd know that we're on the first angel's message, and that's kind of strange for the first angel's message to start with, I saw another angel, isn't it? But it says, I saw another angel. And if you go and you read the whole book of Revelation, you'll find that Revelation is full of angels. I have to stop the smart aleck side of me of thinking of John receiving his revelations, his visions, and saying, another angel. Because he's gone through angels in the courts of heaven. And then earlier in chapter 8, 9, 10, these seven angels with seven trumpets. By the way, the trumpets are warning signs. So these seven angels with their warning signs. And then there's just scenes in heaven and of the conflict in the universe between good and evil that involve angels. And then here in Revelation 14, he says, and I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. Is that visible or invisible, by the way? Is that kind of under wraps or is that out in the open? So he sees another angel. By the way, who knows what the word angel literally means? A messenger. The word angel literally means messenger, all right? And so he sees a messenger flying in the middle of heaven, having what? The everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. It's kind of a funny thing. I looked in the translations, and almost all the translations have this translated as the everlasting gospel. Well, you know, you're kind of off a little bit when you have to, after reading a translation of something, then translate the thing that was translated, right? We in our elders' retreat, we talked about the church and what God sees the church as. And, of course, you realize that that when you're reading in the Bible and this word in Greek is translated church and you have to explain what church is, that you haven't really fully translated. And we found, of course, that the church is a gathering of people centered around trusting in Jesus. If you were in the New Testament times listening in Greek and someone used the word that's translated church, you would hear a gathering. Okay? Well, here we have the gospel, and we have to unpack it one more layer. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel, here's the New Living Translation. And I saw another angel flying through the sky. They missed the part about the middle of the sky. No translation is perfect. Carrying the eternal what? The eternal what? Good news to proclaim to the people. You could also translate it as the good message. And you know what's funny? Is all of the translations except the New American Standard in the Bible software that I'm using actually put the before eternal good news. The isn't even there. So this angel is flying through the sky carrying eternal good news. Wow, I'm liking this already. Because not only in the face of the end times is God bringing us a message of good news, which, you know, we love good news. But eternal good news. How many of you are used to when something is too good to be true? You know, we use that phrase. When something really good happens, and then something else happens. And even if the thing that was good that happened didn't go away, the something else that happens just kind of erases it from your mind. You can be on top of the world looking down on creation. Where did I get that? You can be on top of the world looking down on creation and everything one moment, and then something happens that makes it as if the good news never happened. It just evaporates and goes away. But this is eternal good news. It's good news that can never be undone. And look who it's for. It's for a select group of people who are on the inside. It's for a select group of people from a certain culture, from a certain time. Isn't that what it says, right? Or am I getting that wrong? I'm getting that terribly wrong. In fact, I'm getting it the opposite of the way it says. To proclaim, that's not quiet, right? To proclaim to the people who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. I want you to think about that. The words that are chosen here, these are good translations to every nation, tribe, language, and people. As far as I can tell, what God has done here by His Spirit through the Apostle John has made it so that no matter how you divide up the world into categories, every category is covered. Every nation. Citizens of the United States, citizens of Great Britain, citizens of Iran, citizens of Russia, citizens of Lithuania, citizens of Serbia, of the Czech Republic, citizens of Mali, citizens of South Africa, every nation, Israel, Palestine, every nation in the world. If you belong to a nation, this message is for you. No matter what nation you belong to. How about tribes? Well, we know already about, if you pay any attention to news, especially, that might not be even right to say that, but the examples that come to mind currently, look what's going on in Iraq. Look what's going on in Afghanistan. Now, those are nations. Iraq is the nation of Iraq. Afghanistan is the nation of Afghanistan. But is there unity and peace within the borders of those nations? No, why? Because, actually, I didn't mean to teach civics, I just do it naturally. These borders were not established according to the peoples there, were they? These borders were established when particularly European countries did conquest in these areas and established territories that they administered. And a lot of times those borders were placed with great ignorance about where the peoples actually were. And so you have lines that cut across tribal areas. You have nations glued together, made of warring tribes and families. By the way, the word for tribe literally just is an extended family, isn't it? It's people who are genetically related, a tribe. So you have tribes. No matter what your racial definition, what your ethnic definition, no matter what your cultural identification, your family extended connections, no matter which one, however you categorize yourself, Armenian, English, Scotch, Zulu, no matter what tribe you ascribe to yourself, this good news is for you, and it won't wear out. Language, all the world is divided ever since Babel by languages, isn't it? And people have language superiority contests. I've heard that Spanish is the language of heaven. I don't know of anybody else that's had the guts to say that. But my Spanish-speaking friends always tell me it's the language of heaven. You might know some other language is the language of heaven, but no matter what language you speak, English, Spanish, Hebrew, Osa, are you impressed? Want me to do it again? Osa. No matter what language you speak or anybody else speaks, this good news is for you. This good news is for them. And then, just in case, you can think of another way to categorize people. It just says, for every people. However you categorize yourself, an environmentalist, a drill baby drill activist, a member of the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the Green Party, however you categorize yourself as a person, however other people categorize yourself as a person, as a cancer survivor or as a cancer victim, no matter what you describe yourself, no matter how you identify yourself in groups within our society, and there are so many groups, liberals, conservatives, all of these different groups, no matter how you categorize yourself or someone else, this good news is for you. This good news is for them. Whatever us you are, the good news is for us. Whatever them you define, the good news is for them. It is without borders. It is without categories. It is for every person on this earth, including you, including them. So the question is then, what is the good news? You find it in the scriptures as a technical term. The good news. What is the good news? I've looked for definitions. Let me show you what I found, and I want you to actually look at it in your Bible. So I'm not putting this on the screen. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not. Because I want you, if there's a Bible in front of you, if there's a Bible in your phone, on your iPad or Android tablet, whatever you have, I want you to be looking at a Bible. Romans 1:16. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay to look over the shoulder of someone next to you. Get their permission first, if necessary. If you can do it surreptitiously without them noticing, do that. But get your eyes on a Bible, okay? And when I was growing up, that was one of the things. We didn't have a TV, so reading was very precious. And for some reason, all of us kids hated someone reading over our shoulders. Go get your own book. But we're not like that here. So Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 16, and it has the key phrase that I'm looking for. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," and here's the key little phrase, "for it is." You know what that means? That means he's about to tell us what it is. Deep thinking. You can expect that here. "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." By the way, in Paul's culture, that was his way of saying for everyone. "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." So this is God's way of saving people. And you notice it's the gospel of Christ. So it's not generalized. It's about Jesus right here. It's about Jesus and how through Jesus, God is able to save everyone who believes. That is good news, isn't it? What's it mean to be saved? It means to be delivered from your sin. It means to be given eternal life, forgiveness, to be belonging in the family of God, not just now but forever, because this is eternal good news, right? There's one other defining passage in the writings of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We've been here before, but because this is brought up here in the three angels' messages, in this first angel's message of Revelation chapter 14, this summary of what the message is all about, we want to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Starting in verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel." It's the same word. By the way, just in case you didn't know this, the word that's translated gospel is a Greek word, euangelion. And you might recognize the last part of that word, angelion, is actually related to the word for angel. A messenger brings a message. That's pretty novel, isn't it? An amazing concept. The messenger brings a message. So the prefix EU, or sometimes transliterated EV, means good. So it just means the good message. The euangelion, or sometimes we call it the evangel, the good message. And we call messages meetings where we try and teach people the good message, what do we call them? Evangelistic meetings, right? The practice of sharing the good news we call evangelism. It's sharing the good message. So here it is. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand." Oh, I like this. This is able to save you. It's able to make you stand, to make you solid, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So he's saying, in other words, you stand in this good news. It keeps you standing, but of course, you don't keep it if you don't want to keep it. He points that out. That in order for it to be the eternal good news for you, you have to keep wanting it, keep choosing to accept this good news. And then he goes on to describe it. For I delivered to you, first of all, this is the good news that he gave them, by which they are saved and in which they stand. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain, and so on. He's giving testimony that Jesus rose, and then he says he was seen by him, and then you bring it on down to verse 11 after he's talked about this gospel. He says, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. I love the fact, and we need to pick this up here. I love the fact that Paul starts his telling of the gospel with the story of Jesus, who came, took our sins upon himself, and died and rose again in victory. And then he comes down, when he's talking about the witnesses to the resurrection, he brings it all to him. Let's actually look at it in verse 8 and following. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. You can see how amazed he is that Jesus accepted him. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Is the gospel, is the eternal good news for people who persecute the church of God? The enemies of Christ? The good news is for the enemies of Christ. I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Whose story is Paul telling now? Not his story. He's telling the story of he and Jesus. Of him and Jesus. Because the gospel starts, the good news starts with the story of Jesus and how he saves us and continues to the story of Jesus and how he saves me. And for you, how he saved you and saves you. Do you understand? And therefore, when you accept the story of Jesus and how he came to save us, how he came and lived the perfect life, how he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him so that we could be accepted into the family. And then he rose again. And then you met him, or he found you. And his story then becomes part of your story. And that's the good news too. And that's the news that someone that you meet on the street or someone that you've had in your life can relate to, because it's a story not that much unlike theirs, and how their life story could intersect with the story of Jesus and make something new and wonderful, bringing them into the family of God. And then he concludes, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach. And so you believed. I should have had this on a slide so that you could write this down easily, but I think you can do this. Type it in your smartphone, do whatever. A good summary of the gospel is the story of Jesus and how he saves us. It's the story of Jesus and how he saves us. It's no accident that when you look at the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are actually called the what of Matthew? The Gospel of Matthew. And someone gave the even further translation, the Good News of Matthew. That's right. And the what of Mark? The Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of John. And what, in summary, does the book of Matthew contain? The story of Jesus, is it not? That's right. Are you sure? The story of Jesus, is it not? Yeah. OK. Okay, are you sure of that? And Mark contains the story of Jesus, and Luke contains the story of Jesus, and John contains the story of Jesus. The gospel is the story of Jesus and how he saves us. So next time, when I've had this unfortunate experience of being in gatherings of faithful followers of Jesus who want nothing more than to spend eternity with him in heaven, and I ask them, what is the gospel? Maybe I should have asked them, what is the good news? And one says to me, isn't it the Ten Commandments? And another says to me, it's the Bible. The Bible is the gospel. And another says something to me about working hard and being faithful to Jesus. Well, the Ten Commandments are good, aren't they? But they are not the good news. The Bible is good, is it not? But it is not the good news. Being faithful to Jesus all your life until he comes, that's good, isn't it? But that's not the good news. The good news is the story of Jesus and how he has done everything and is doing everything so that by trusting in him, we can be saved. The story of Jesus and how he saves us. And as we come into this last day's message for the world to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord, how is it summarized? It's summarized as the eternal good news that is for everyone. No matter who you can think of, including yourself, this good news is for you. This good news is for them. You are not beyond its reach. And if you think you are, I especially want to be talking to you today, this morning. This good news is for you. No matter what you've said about yourself or what the people you look up to most in life or the people you resent the most in life have said about you, this good news is for you. Jesus came. He died for everything that you can think of and things that you don't know that are wrong with you. He died for your sins. He died for your guilt. He died for your record. And then he rose again, demonstrating that he could do that. That he could take your place and that he could make it work. He could make it stick. That he could make it actually do what he promised to save you, to forgive you, to cleanse you, to make you one of the family of God. In the same family, not only as the saints on earth, but as the angels in heaven and as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit themselves. He's done it all. He rose again. And now, as the scriptures say, he ever lives to intercede for us. As we're going to get into next week, but as we're going to get into, as we go on through this series, he is now doing everything necessary, not just to save you and get you to heaven, but he's doing everything necessary so that this mess never happens again. Is that good news? This is the story of Jesus and how he saves us forever. It's undoable. It's not undoable. That's what I'm trying to think of. There's no, you know, those little arrows on your computer. I use some this day. You know, you click on it and what you did last gets undone like it never happened. It is not undoable. This is the good news for you. Whatever you think of yourself, whatever anyone else has thought or said about you, this good news is for you. He died for you. He rose for you. He intercedes for you. And he's doing what he needs to do, not only for you, but so that his family can be safe and full of love, never interrupted, forever and ever and ever. Now, once you digest that, don't you think this is good news that you can tell someone? That you can, anybody that you think of, that no matter what you think of them, no matter what you have thought of them, that it's news that he wants you to share with them. Last night, I could have been finishing up my sermon slides, but Missy said, could we invite the neighbors over? It was late afternoon. And they could swim in the pool with me. I had the same pattern of thinking that I discussed with you about when the prison ministry's opportunity came to us. Okay, inviting the neighbors over so that we can make friends and get closer to them. Did this idea come from some bad place? Is this an inspiration of the devil to distract me from my last sermon preparations? Not on your life. No. So, we went over and Missy made sure that I would do the talking. And our neighbors, the two little kids, Cyrus and Ella, and their daddy Marvin, came over. And the kids just splashed around, and Marvin and I got to sit there. They moved down here, by the way, across the street from us, from Humboldt County. That's where I moved from. That's where I was born and raised. They moved down to our neighborhood, directly across the street from us, from Humboldt County. So, anyway, so Marvin and I sat there in our zero gravity loungers, and we made friends more than we had already. We talked about things. I was able to share a little bit about, we talked about barn owls, and I was able to share that, you know, I just cannot bring myself to imagine that there wasn't a wonderful designer behind that. He didn't say anything back about anything I said like that. But we talked about his work and other things. And now I would say Marvin is my friend. But I don't want him to be my friend for just here and now. It's not simply because I have a duty to share my faith, the good news with Marvin, but God has put his love in my heart. And anybody that I know, I don't want my relationship with them, even if it's a clerk in the store, I don't want my relationship with them to be just for here and now and then gone. And then when you put that together with, in the Sermon on the Mount, what did Jesus say should be our relationship to our enemies? Love our enemies. The heart of God, who is not willing that any should perish, but wants everyone to come to repentance, says that when his story intersects with your story, and you know that you are accepted with him in his family, that you're going to want that for everyone else. So if his story hasn't intersected your story so that you know you're in his family, that you're clean and accepted with him, I want you to make that choice today, that you accept what Jesus has done and is doing and will do for you. And if your story has come together with the story of Jesus, I want you to take that good news, and like that demon-possessed man that Jesus delivered that we talked about some time ago, I want you to go and tell what great things the Lord has done to you, to whoever will listen. Maybe you don't throw it in their face right away, but you make friends with everyone that you can. You mingle with people as one who desires their good. You listen to them, their stories. Show your sympathy for them. Show your understanding for them. And then tell them the story of Jesus and how he has changed your life and given you a future. Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, we thank you, Spirit, that when you saw this place and us, who you created perfect, to be perfectly in your family, and we rebelled and we each went our own way, both as a human race and each of us individually, that you could not abandon us, but you came here. You became one of us. You faced the same temptations as we face. And you overcame, and you took all of our guilt upon yourself and gave your life on the cross for us. Thank you that death could not hold you, but the story continued, that you rose from the grave and that you ascended to the right hand of the Father, that you ever live to intercede for us, that you're doing everything needed so that we can be with you safely forever in your family, the family of love. Oh, Father, I pray if there is anyone here who doesn't have that assurance now, that today can be the day that they know that they are yours, that they love you, that you love them. And I invite you, if that is you, after the service, I ask an elder to be in each of these front corners of the sanctuary here, and they can talk to you and pray with you and show you from God's word, if you need to see it again, that he has the way, and just by trusting, you can go from this place knowing that you are accepted with God. All the dirt is gone, and you are his. And Father, for all of us, I ask that this good news that you have given us will burn within us, and that the love that you have given us through that good news will inspire us to share that good news with everyone so that your dream can come true, and everyone will have the opportunity to turn to you and be saved. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.